We are doing everything we can to let the people leave and with amazing efforts. But I think also that this is precision, precision weapons. So in fact, if you want to avoid civilian casualties, you need these weapons rather than imprecise weaponry. But I think beyond that, look, I've known Joe Biden for many years, 40 years and more. You know, we often had our agreements, but we've had our disagreements. We've been able to overcome them. I hope we can overcome them now, but we will do what we have to do to protect our country, and that means protect our future. And that means we will defeat Hamas, including in Rafah. We have no other choice.
Well, they don't really have any other choice. I mean, what are you going to do? That's Netanyahu, who's discussing the ongoing, are they going to or are they not going to, with regards to Rafah, the place where Gazans have fled to, and you got, I don't know how many battalions of Hamas. Just let them do what they got to do. I don't know why this administration feels like Israel's got a focus group test everything by them. I mean, look, I don't know. If I was Netanyahu, I'd be like, dude, I saw them people falling off them planes in Kabul. So I really don't think I'm going to be asking you how we should respond to something. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of this very first hour on Monday. You guys hate it when I say that. I had an email from a listener out in Bakersfield who's like, Dana, would you please stop saying Monday? Monday is not yay for a lot of us. Like she was like, God love her. She was so serious. So serious. She's like, it's not yay for a lot of us. Yes, it is. It is, Alyssa. Alyssa from Bakersfield. It's Monday. Okay, I get it. You're just like, you know, we're going to force you to start your week off right. And I say this as a cynic who wears black all the time. All right, so welcome. It is good to be with you again. Top of this very first hour on Monday. And we're going to cover what you missed over the weekend, which wasn't a lot. We're going to get over some of this other stuff. I hope everyone had a wonderful Mother's Day, not birthing person's day, because you're a woman. Happy Mother's Day. It's amazing that we can help grow life from within and nurture life outside. That's what being a mom is all about. And it's not birthing person's day. So I'm very pleased that I didn't see a lot of that nonsense on Mother's Day, because I think moms are tired of it. So Dana Lash with you. I think moms are tired of it. So this, I've got a few things. So I guess like the biggest thing so far that happened over the weekend, and we have the ongoing legal stuff, which we're just going to bring you up to speed on, because they got Michael Cohen who's testifying, and everybody's been waiting, and by everybody, I mean literally only the prosecution, has been waiting for Michael Cohen. He's like the physical manifestation of a bad suit that doesn't fit. So it's like a crappy suit that's just bad material, not even sewn properly, not cut right, doesn't fit. He's the physical manifest, like the man manifestation, the male manifestation of that. So we'll keep you up to date with all, up to speed with all of that. But the other thing, we had the graduations that were ongoing. Apparently everything mostly went off without a hitch. There was only at Baylor, somebody tried to do this at Baylor University where they had a flag and they walked up. I don't think that they like rushed the stage because Baylor doesn't play that way. And they had somebody like unfurl a Gazan flag. And again, I don't say Palestinian because Palestine is a fictional country of fictional people. And, it was essentially named, again, for the drive-bys, out of spite by Hadrian after the Second Judean Uprising, right? And he did that after the Philistines, who were from Crete and a seafaring people, and this was 200 years after, you know, anybody who was even from Jordan was there. So, long story short, it's a fake country, not even supported by thousands of years of antiquity. So we say Gazan, because we use the name of the strip, that geographical location. So somebody walked up with a Gazan flag at Baylor, and there was booing. And some lady had yelled, you're ruining it for everyone. And that was the extent of it. I think we have a little bit of it. But that was the extent of it. I mean, it was just, that was it. They didn't. And someone yelled, they said you're ruining it for everyone. That's the extent of it. I was at Baylor and that's all they did. They were not having it. I love it, that lady. You're ruining it for everyone. I don't know who that student was, but it's fantastic. And it was from the floor, so it was somebody, it was a graduate in the floor. So they were not dealing with it. They were not going to sit here. Because if you've ever been to, golly, these graduations, am I right? Oh, I mean, yeah, we're happy for the grads. Woo. But it is, I don't know who is in charge of reading the names of these things, but they butcher everybody's names. And then it takes 11 hours because you're reading all of the names of all of these people who are going forward and getting their diplomas. And again, you're super happy that they're doing this. Yes, it's all great. But it takes a long time, right? So you don't, you know, you got people that, you know, that have traveled from all over the country. They don't give a rat's backside about you unfurling your little guys and flag and making your stupid little statements. But I love the other person was like, you're ruining it for everyone because it's, you're hijacking something to bring attention to Hamas. You're being a terrorist stooge just to bring attention to Hamas. And it's the inconvenience is not worth it, especially for all these people's time. You know, go do it on your own time, but not everybody else's time. So that was the extent of it. Baylor wasn't playing there. And there really wasn't any other disruptions over graduation weekend. And you had A&M that had their ceremonies, Baylor, who else? These big colleges. Yeah, Columbia. These big colleges, some of these others in Texas, minus UT, they're not having it. Now, at Duke University, Steve reminds me, Jerry Seinfeld spoke at Duke University. And at Duke University, this was maybe the one exception. They didn't storm the stage, but they booed him. The Gazan kids, the Gazan adults, they booed him and then they walked out at Duke because Jerry Seinfeld went up. And he was the commencement speaker, the speaker for commencement. And he went up and they booed him and they had a bunch of people who walked out because they hate Jewish people. Let's just be real. They hate to Jews, J-O-O-S. That's how all of these people are. They said that they walked out of their graduation ceremony and then everyone else booed them. All the other people booed them. So you had these anti-Israel, pro-Hamas prostitutes that booed him, and that was NBC had said that the students were booing Seinfeld, but it was actually they were booing the little Keffi, right? That's what they did, the little Keffi. They were booing them. So that was you know, they weren't dealing. They weren't going to have it. They weren't going to deal with it. People were tired of it. That was some of Duke. And then the people booing, they're booing at the little Keffi grads. The grads wearing their picnic blankets. Yeah, go ahead and take your stupid banner. Notice it's like, if you're watching on the simulcast, Juan's showing it. There was only like a handful of them that walked out. Take your little Keffis and GTFO. Go on with you. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Apparently, some of them didn't get a brain, so I doubt that they even got the split. So anyway, that's what was happening over the weekend. Now, in the meantime, Biden, Mother's Day, he went to church for Mother's Day. I don't know what he prays to or about when he goes into the church, Biden. You know what I mean? Like, this is one question that I always have of these Democrat lawmakers who are like, oh, yes, we love just stabbing babies in the head in the womb. Abortion on demand up until birth. Because remember, they weren't doing this, the safe, legal, rare people. They weren't doing this like, oh, it's in the, except for the, if the mom's life is in danger, et cetera, which is, by the way, already statute, it's already codified. That's protected in every single state. So it's a lie when they say otherwise. But these are the people who want taxpayer funded abortion on demand up until the moment of birth. How do these people who are like, yes, let's go ahead and vacuum out baby's guts. And we're all for that. Yay. Should be taxpayer funded all the way up until 9 months of pregnancy. What are they going to church to pray about? I mean, because it's not their souls, probably. Seriously, I want to know what these people go into church. It's like Anton LaVey. Like, he go, you know what I mean? That dude. Wasn't he the devil guy? Like, it would be like him going to, what do these people go into church to pray about? I'm always fascinated by this. Anyway, Joe Biden, he was in Delaware for a couple of days, because you know he was. And he has been kind of trying to raise money. They gotta jack him all up with Hunter's crack and everything else. And so it's kind of hard to raise money when you don't even know like who the Mexican president is or where the southern border is or anything about any other nation, and you just keep stepping in it, and you call Japan. What did he call them? He said they were xenophobic. So he goes to his little beach house in Delaware, goes to church service, and he exited church. And then he asked, and I believe we have this, he had asked how he celebrated Mother's Day as he was leaving the church. They were like, oh, and he was with his one of his grandkids, I guess. And he was asked, Mr. President, you know, how did you celebrate Mother's Day? And Biden had like the sassy little comment. He looked at the people in the press and he goes, well, I prayed for you all. You all need help. Can you imagine? Because they asked him, they have been the friendliest to this man. I don't know anybody else. Listen to this. Listen to the sass in this.
Here we go.
Here he comes out.
How did you celebrate Mother's Day, Mr. President?
Prayed for y'all.
You need help. How come Sunday?
I prayed for y'all. You need help. They have been so friendly to him. You know what? They do need help to keep covering for him. I mean, my gosh, they do need help with all of the bending over backwards they're doing to assist this guy. They do need help. I guess, like, that's not even a tough question. That's not even a hard question. They're just like, Mr. President, how did you celebrate Mother's Day? I mean, it's like one step. I mean, it's adjacent to what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? I mean, it's not hard. He could have said, oh, we're celebrating the first lady or whatever. I mean, I think you kind of probably have to parent a little bit better than having a bunch of crackheads in order to say that, you know, you're worthy of a celebratory Mother's Day. But I digress. It just is weird because that was his answer. That was his response. Seems a little sassy, doesn't it? So in addition to this, we got some other. So Jen Psaki got in major trouble. This is the other story. It's not a big story, but it just kind of goes to show you there's a pattern here amongst the left. So Jen Psaki has a new book out, and she apparently, Kristi Noemed her way through it. Oh my gosh, the hits keep coming for Kristi Noem too. We're going to get into that because we're running out of time this segment. But oh my gosh, you guys, there's still stuff. There's still stuff. No wonder she canceled every media hit that she had. She's not even promoting this book anymore. This girl's gone. But Jen Psaki apparently pulled a Kristi Noem, and she was lying in her book, and the backlash, they're hitting her hard. We're going to talk about that coming up. We're also going to get into Gavin Newsom. The press is finally calling him out because he spent billions of dollars apparently to feed the homeless and nobody got fed. Where did the money go? I'm not even making this up. I'm not even kidding. This is the stuff that's been happening. So we're going to get into that. We got a whole bunch of stuff, cultural issues as well to get into. The time is now to revolutionize how you approach health and wellness. So I want to introduce you to Lumen. It's a groundbreaking handheld metabolic coach. And with Lumen, you can track your metabolism through your breath and get real-time insights on whether you're burning fat or carbs. And the best part is that the Lumen app provides tailored guidance to enhance your nutrition, your workouts, your sleep cycles, even stress management. So it works pretty easy. You just breathe into your Lumen device first thing in the morning and you get this snapshot of your metabolism for the day along with a personalized nutrition plan. And plus you can use it before and after workouts and meals, ensuring that you're always in tune with what's happening in your body. It helps you read your body's signals, and it gives you an accurate metabolic reading, whereas usually would have to go to a lab for that. Your metabolism is your body's engine, and it powers everything that you do. So optimizing it with Lumen means easier weight management, improved energy levels, better fitness results, better sleep. So if you're ready to take the next step in your health journey, head over to lumen.me and use code DanaShow for $100 off your Lumen device. Remember, that's lumen.me, lumen.me. And don't forget to use code DanaShow for $100 off. Thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode and helping everybody achieve their health goals.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
We're going to talk about this a little bit more, but listen to this headline. Sounds like some Pollywood nonsense. UN, the United Nations, halved its estimate of women and children killed in Gaza. Remember, the Gazan Health Ministry, a.k.a. Hamas, was trying to say that more people were killed in Gaza than literally all of D-Day, which we knew was not accurate. And now the UN is like, oh, well, it looks like this is all incorrect, and it's like maybe not even half this number. Not even half that number. I mean, that's the thing. People were doing the math. The numbers that they were coming out with, it was literally more than D-Day. That's what they were trying to say, the number of people that were killed. AP was like, this is what the Gazans say, this is what Hamas says. It wasn't like that at all. Oh, my word. So we talked about the Seinfeld speech at Duke. There was a, this is interesting. So now, because, you know, you have drones that can deliver groceries. Well, now you also have drones that are getting you if you steal groceries. Ooh, it's the new future. There's some very interesting footage. This is in Pennsylvania. They have drones that track down and catch suspected shoplifters. It's a small fleet. It's their Ben Salem Secure Task Force. They said they have growing retail theft issues. And so now they've launched all these drones out there. I mean, this is kind of amazing. They've got all these drones out and they are catching, I guess, shoplifters, and they swarm them. This is kind of wild. And they're air flown, so they're not bound by traffic patterns or traditional road routes. So the police say that an operator can get a device on the scene within 2 minutes, and their clearance rate for retail thefts is 62%, which is higher than the national average. So this is the difference the drones have made. They had 900 retail thefts last year, and now they only have 484. So that's pretty big. And then we got to talk about that portal, because they've been trolling people on this portal. And a California man was told by the city to hide the boat in his driveway, so he painted his fence to match his boat. Stick with us. How is it possible that America could run short of amoxicillin? Amoxicillin is like the Swiss Army knife of antibiotics, because it treats so many different types of infections. Doctors prescribe it for ear, nose, throat infections. It treats lower respiratory infections, sinusitis, which I've had before, skin infections, UTIs. So again, how could America run short on it? Antibiotics come from China and India. And if you or a family member get sick and there's no amoxicillin, now what? So that's why I have a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. I've used it for strep before. It comes with amoxicillin, and it's in your kit now when you need it. So this is not a first aid kit. It's like an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with those essential prescriptions to treat over 39 medical issues. It's doctor prescribed antibiotics for infections of all types, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, you have a doctor's guide, so you know exactly when and how to use each prescription. You've got your medications, no waiting to see the doctor, no lines at the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. So order yours online in minutes and they'll rush it to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, and I believe we need an assault weapons ban. We need universal background checks. We need red flag laws, right?
So she's like, well, I support the Second Amendment, but I also don't support the Second Amendment. That's what she just said there in her little soundbite. Welcome back to the program. That's what the country has as our VP. Well, I mean, I'm in favor of the Second Amendment. I'm also not in favor of the Second Amendment, because the stuff that she's talking about, and that was Vice President Kamala Harris, the stuff that she's talking about there, first off, we have, and it doesn't work. I mean, in red flag laws, we already have ways to go about that without diminishing due process protections with ex parte processes. And we've talked about this ad nauseum. Just so goofy. Again, welcome back to the program. Bottom of the second hour, or first hour, rather. Dana Lash with you. I saw this story. I wanted to touch on it real quick because I'm amazed how this has just gotten so crazy. So in Britain, because they keep going after J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter author, because she has blank you money, right? And she's still making hits, hit after hit. She's a factory. And as long as she's making money for people, you know, she's protected and she's got a decent amount of money already. And so they accused her of cruelty. Now, first off, I'm trying to figure out what the cruelty is. Like, what party is actually guilty of cruelty here? Because she was remarking on this story of a dude who is a referee, and he is a manager in the top five in the top five divisions of English women's football, aka in the United States soccer. And he's taken over at Sutton United. So he's a manager. He's a dude. He has a weenus. These are facts. All right. So it's a dude who is managing a women's football team in Britain. But they're trying to act like him doing this is more historic than a woman doing this, because he's a dude who cosplays as a woman. He's got a wig and he wears some makeup, and he's got, you know, he grew his hair out, and I guess he got a boob job. I don't know. So he's doing this. She comes out and says, because she had a tweet about it, and they've been going after her over this. She had tweeted, quote, "When I was young, all the football managers were straight, white, middle-aged blokes. So it's fantastic to see how much things have changed." Because he is a white, straight, well, he's not, he's straight. He's just decides to dress as a woman, white, middle-aged bloke. So she's making a joke. And everyone says that she's cruel to make a joke like this. What's the cruelty? These people say that observing basic scientific fact is cruel. And it's cruel if you don't go along with someone else's self-perception, even if they're mentally ill. You see what I'm saying? If this guy saw himself as having one arm and he decided to saw off his arm, would you still be celebrating? Because it's an arm, it's a penis, it's one thing after, I mean, you know, this is what's happening. And they're calling her cruel, but it's not cruel for men to disenfranchise women off women's sports teams, or to kick your daughters off of their varsity team and relegate them to the bench because they're taking over their positions on the court or on the field or elsewhere. That's not cruel. But this dude's got a ween because he's a dude. So this idea of, well, he's an openly transgender, he's a dude who dresses as a chick, okay? That's not an achievement. It's not a feat. That's not demonstration of some sort of athletic skill. This idea that we have to celebrate somebody who decides that their self-perception has to be affirmed by everyone else in the world in order for it to be real is becoming, it's beyond annoying. It's frustrating. Because now they're hijacking the realities of other women and demanding that these women alter their realities, their understanding of science and biology and basic fact and observable truth, and alter their realities to accommodate a man who is demanding that women affirm his self-perception. It's not about it's not about tolerance. It was never about tolerance. That was just a word to bait people into lowering their guard. It's about affirmation. And it's really not even affirmation. It's about acclimation and demanding that you bend the knee. That's what it is. See, women, they're all about celebrating the left, women's choices. Accept the choice to observe scientific fact. They're all about celebrating women's choices. Accept the choice to not say that a dude who's cosplaying as a chick is a she. The moment that a woman decides to exercise a choice about scientific-based pronouns, then she's branded a TERF or a bigot. So, you know, everybody can tick off about, you know, women's choices and pro-choice and all that stuff. There's no choice for women. There's only one choice. And if you don't do it, then you are abused, just like the patriarchy that feminists say abuse women in the first place. It is such a mind job. You're called a TERF. You're abused. It's psychological and physical. I've seen videos of women hit in the face because they called a dude with a penis a dude. And they wouldn't affirm his deranged perception that he's a chick. So spare me all of the nonsense about pro-choice. You rat-ass bigots don't even care anything about choice. It's all about making and force, and that's what it's about. Forcing women to do something. And the patriarchy got these dumb broads in the matriarchy to go along with it. That's the ultimate burn. You've got third and fourth wave feminists that are forcing other women to bend the knee. Hell, men don't even need to raise their fists anymore because they got these dumbass women doing it for them. So they've been going to J.K. Rowling over this nonstop because she said something that's true. And they're like, can you believe she compared him to a man? She said she's a man. She's like, she's accused of cruelty. She's so cruel. She mocked him by comparing him to a man. She's like, I didn't compare him to a man. He is a man. Joe Biden actually gave a speech over the weekend where he was talking about Mother's Day. And then he actually said, protect women's sports. Can you believe that? The guy who decided to completely destroy Title IX. And Title IX was not without its faults in the beginning. But this is the bait and switch that you saw that was set up by third wave feminists, second wave feminists, really, towards the end of the second wave. First wave, as you know, was Susan B. Anthony, Right to Vote. Second wave began as equal pay in a meritocracy because second wave was meritocracy based until towards the end. When you got, you know, these Gloria Steinems and the Linda Hirschmans and all of these other dumb broads out there, and they decided to get involved. And then they ushered in third wave, which was about punishing men, all men for everything. And then third wave led to fourth wave. So it became, I am a woman. I am equal to man. I am a man. That's what it all became. So now we're in 11,000th wave. That's where we're at now. And all of this, what gets me, he gets out there and he talks about, oh, well, yeah, he actually said, give a speech. He's like, well, yeah, we should have got to protect women's sports, Mother's Day. You can't even define what a woman is. They keep using the phrase birthing person in actual medical manuals. But then they're going to celebrate Mother's Day. I will never understand why white suburban women are voting hand over fist for Joe Biden and Democrats when they are the ones who bitch the absolute loudest about women in women's sports, men taking over women's sports. They are the ones who complain the loudest about equality. They are the ones who complain the loudest about meritocracy. And you are voting for an administration that is ushering in policy that is suffocating meritocracy and promoting people based upon their male chromosomes if they cosplay as females. Don't act like you're saving the world. You're helping to shove it to hell faster. That's what you're doing. It's just wild. Gets out there and says, oh yes, we got to protect women's sports. Title IX. You gutted Title IX. Because remember, they define gender as anything that you choose to identify as. So it's pointless anymore. And all of those feminists that made a cottage industry at selling this stuff to women with Title IX, where are they at now? Where are all of the bra burners at now? They made such fat bank and charged five figures to give speeches on this stuff. Where are they for women's sports? Where are they for female representation? Where are they for any of this? They're MIA. Hey, they did what they needed to do. It wasn't about advancing women. It was about advancing their bank accounts. They're sellouts. That's a fancy word for prostitute. So a few other things to touch on. So Kristi Noem not having a good time. Now there's another problem with her book. Now you can see why she's not doing any press on it. So her book, first off, she was getting a lot of criticism because she fabricated this meeting with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. Well, now in her book, and remember, this is her second autobiography that she has written about herself in 2 years. So now she said that she had made a last second cancellation to plans to meet Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, over one of his statements that she said was anti-Israel. She said, while in Paris, I was slated to meet with French President Emmanuel Macron. However, the day before we were to meet, he made what I considered a very pro-Hamas and anti-Israel comment to the press. So I decided to cancel. That was her direct from the book that's in the book. So Emmanuel Macron's office issued a statement after they started being asked about this from members of the press. And they said she was never invited to meet with him. What is she talking about? Who? She was never invited. And her camp, her book was saying that she had been invited to a political conference in November of 23 And that then, not only that, she didn't stop there. I can't figure out if she's Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren of the GOP. I can't figure out. She's kind of Elizabeth Warren of the GOP. Then she said it wasn't just that she was invited for this political conference in 2023. She was invited to sit in his private box with him at the country's Armistice Day parade. And Macron's like, what? Their office is like, that literally never happened. Approve it. What? That never happened. Now, I don't like Emmanuel Macron, and I don't like to be put in a position of even remotely defending anything he says. But this is what unforced error after unforced error from someone who has more ambition than sense. This is the position they put you in. Do you see the danger of having someone like this in higher office? Because then people that you don't like are forced to correct the record, and you can't say that they're wrong because they're actually being honest about it. Like, what else did she fabricate in this book? There's all kinds of stuff. There's more to come still, because that wasn't the only thing. There's another thing related to it, but we got to get going. We're going to talk about that coming up. And we also have the latest with Dexter Taylor. He's been sentenced to 10 years. The punitive phase. They were trying to determine what they were going to sentence him, how long they were going to put him in jail for. He was up for 18. They sentenced him to 10. We're going to talk more about this here coming up as we roll towards the conclusion of this first hour. We got Days of These United States coming up. Goldco is offering you a free 2024 wealth protection kit. You can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this show. Don't be like, I don't like bonus silver, because only communists say that. People who love America, love money, and love gold and silver definitely want to know how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. They have one of the most unique approaches to their business. They want to make sure that you're so thoroughly educated on the gold IRA market and the economy of how it all works. They send you this free kit that walks you through everything. So not only do you get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver, but you understand everything about it. And you don't even have to have an economic degree. It's very easy to follow. They make precious metals ownership very understandable, and they understand it's an important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy. Totally transparent, a frillion bunch of 5-star reviews. They've got a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. So get started today at danalikesgold.com. The only thing I don't like about that URL is it doesn't say love. danalikesgold.com, and get your free gold kit from Goldco. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's danalikesgold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Of these poor souls who are looking for some answers. We've given them to them, but they're blocked by some of their views on guns. They have the three G's, guns, gays, God. That would be a woman's right to choose. And the cultural issues cloud some of their reception of an argument that really is in their interest.
I think she's Kane's favorite person. Yeah. He really likes Nancy Pelosi. She's talking about voters. She said that voters are blocked from making good, rational decisions and voting Democrat because of guns, gays, and God. That sounds an awful lot like the bitter clinger remark from Barack Obama back in 2008. Huh. Sounds very, very similar to that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're getting ready to roll into our second hour. And yeah, that's, I don't think it's that. I think it's they don't like the policies and the bad economy and inflation. And I think it does have something to do, I will say, with guns, though, because when you have Democrats that support lawless DAs and there isn't justice for those who have been offended against, i.e. violent crime, robbery, etc., and they see these people, the same repeat offenders, getting arrested, booked, jailed, released, arrested, booked, jailed, released, and the cycle continues, the crime rises. They see that and they're like, yeah, I want to go out and get a gun. And then they have Democrats going, well, you're too stupid to have a gun. And only the military should have firearms. And only the police should have firearms. But then we've seen issues with even that as well. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of questions there. Speaking of police and firearms, first off, we're going to talk about Dexter Taylor. He was sentenced to 10 years for engaging in a perfectly legal activity of firearm hobbyism. He was building his own firearms for his own personal use, which is completely federally protected. But in New York, they're trying to argue otherwise. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into this case that took place in Florida where this airman was, he opened the door. It was this, it's a weird story and there's body cam footage, but apparently this cop went to this apartment because the manager of the apartment building said that she had heard a disturbance coming from that apartment like last week or something and didn't even confirm it. It was just, you know. And the officer goes to the apartment, opens the door. When the guy opens the door, the officer immediately, you know, shoots at him because the guy, the way that the officer was banging on the door, it made the guy inside. I would be a little nervous, and I don't trust it when someone bangs on my door and is like police. And I have a number of stories of home invaders that have done that and have killed people because they've said, you know, open up the door, police, et cetera, et cetera. I've got a handful of stories that have taken place in the past 2 years alone where home invaders have done this. So it's understandable. You hear that, you would probably go to your door armed. This guy's caught on camera with his firearm at his side and he gets shot and killed immediately. So we're going to talk about this story coming up. It's a tragedy all the way around. Stick with us. Sub 2K. It's out shipping. If you haven't gotten it yet, you got to check it out. It reads a sub 2000 on the website. It's an awesome 9mm carbine. I just think it's fun because the whole thing folds in half. I have the previous iteration of this. Now, the Gen 3, they've done some updates on the Gen 3. So previously with the other versions, you would have to detach your optics in order to fold it in half, but you don't have to with the Gen 3. They have this twist and fold motion, single twist and fold motion in either direction. And it folds in half without you having to detach your optics, which is nice. And it deploys just as easily as well. It also takes Glock mags. Glock 19 mags fit flush. And they have Glock 17 and stick mags. They fit with the mag extending past the grip. There's a redesigned trigger. So the mechanics allow for a lighter 5-pound pull that translates into greater accuracy. They've updated the action. It means for easy racking. You also have to have softer recoil too. This is based in Florida. It's a made in America, family owned company. They're actually an American story come to life. And they're innovative. They're passionate about it. And they are determined to make 2A affordable. And they support your rights as well. So learn more about Kel-Tec's Sub 2K Gen 3. Visit KelTecWeapons.com, KelTecWeapons.com, and tell them Dana sent you.
Instead of a Biden tax hike, I'll give you a Trump middle class, upper class, lower class, business class, big tax cut. You're going to have the biggest tax cut.
I hope so, but you got to make it permanent. That's my only thing. That was Trump over the weekend. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the video component of the radio program, Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also find us on X, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, all kinds of good stuff. My only criticism is that the tax cuts that he had in the first part of his first term were not... For non-business was not made permanent for just the layman's terms. The business tax, which business taxes were good. I just want all of them and I want them to be made permanent. But the problem, and you guys remember this because I talked about it at the time. I had said, and this was pre-COVID, like way pre-COVID. I had said that one of the problems that was currently in, and this was at the very beginning of his administration, because he went in and he did start eliminating a lot of bureaucracy. He didn't go as far as Milei did down in Brazil, Argentina, but he did, to an extent, he was cutting a lot of the bureaucracy and the red tape, but the spending was still high. Republicans were still spending hand over fist. This was before COVID. Now, my criticism at the time was, you have to stop government spending if you're going to lower these taxes. Not because I think that taxes cost, or because I think that you have to have an increase in tax in order to pay for government spending. My concern was going to be that Democrats were going to turn around and say, you're increasing the deficit, because they were going to try to argue that tax cuts cost Therefore, we have to keep spending as much as we're spending as the government. And so we're going to have taxes go back up to what they were pre-cut. And that's the only good that's going to be. And that's literally what happened. That's what they did. And I was telling, we talked about this incessantly. I think we had Stephen Moore on to discuss it as well. We had a number of economists at the time. That was my big criticism at the time, because you can't, Republicans could not keep spending the way they were, because Democrats were going to say that's the reason why you have to eliminate these tax cuts. And that's exactly what they turned around and did. And they justified it by saying they had to offset the government spending, and they were trying to act like government spending was necessary. And Republicans aided them in this. And there were a lot of Republicans that are trying to gaslight you now as big economic conservatives that definitely were on board with this major spending even before Trump got into the White House. So that's all I want, is for it to be made permanent. If we're not going to abolish the IRS outright and have everything go towards a graduated consumption tax, then let's at least start with making this stuff permanent. That's we have to have that. Going into 2024, going into November, this is a necessity. And we talked about the concerns with this whole the step up basis, the capital gains tax, you know, et cetera, everything that's going to happen if they get their way in November. I want to talk about this case, switching gears here, and touch on some two-way stuff. I didn't have this on the rundown today, but this case just came out. So you have the, it's truly remarkable, this story of Dexter Taylor. And Dexter Taylor, he was on the show, February, I think he was on the show? He was on the show in February, and he was just sentenced to 10 years in prison. For building his own firearms. Now, we had a number of people, including his attorney, on to discuss this. We had his attorney on just a couple of weeks ago to talk about this. So, as you know, the way that federal law exists now is you can, and this is what they call quote-unquote ghost guns, you can build a firearm and use it for your own personal use, your own enjoyment, so long as you don't sell it. The moment you sell it, and it's your own property, the moment you sell it, it has to be serialized. Now, serial numbers used to be a gun manufacturer's way of tracking batch and what gun was sold, etc. Now, you know, the government gets involved, and now it has to be serialized. So if they were going to sell it, and it's not, it's only if you're within your the state where you are domiciled and you are a legal possessor, then you can do an interstate private transfer. If you're selling it outside of state lines, then you have to go through your FFL, your federal firearms licensee. But if you're selling a firearm, it would have to be serialized. And here's the other thing. If you're making and selling enough for it to be considered, and the ATF even has a percentage of your income that is used to substantiate this. If you're selling enough, then you not only have to have them serialized, but then you have to get your federal firearms licensee and all this other stuff, your license and all this stuff, and go through that whole. But that's irrelevant here, because that's not what Dexter Taylor was doing. The federal law states that you can be a hobbyist and you don't have to serialize your stuff. You can, this is legal. And Dexter Taylor, who I will add has zero criminal record at all whatsoever. He's just, you know, God love him. And I don't say this as an insult. He's a nerd. You know, he likes to build things. He's fascinated with how things work. This is probably his favorite show. How does it work? Isn't that how the show is? That's probably his favorite show. But he's fascinated. If it's not cars, it's guns. He's fascinated with how things work. And he also is driven by the desire to make something better. He wants to improve it. So he's been building firearms, and it's perfectly legal for him to do so. It's just stuff that he has and he keeps, and some of it he's never even shot. But New York is trying to change federal law and state that basically an undrilled block of polymer is a gun. They're trying to say that all of these things that are not firearms are firearms. And this is all part of the ATF's effort to push everyone into being their own individual federal firearms licensee. Now you're probably like, what does that mean? This is why it should matter to you, even if you don't have a gun, or if you only have a gun, or if you have no intention ever of being an FFL or federal firearms licensee, or getting your federal firearms license. That's what is meant when we talk about FFLs. Here's why. It's a backdoor registry. This is why I've never gotten my FFL. I don't want to have to subject myself to any kind of ATF inspection. And there is an inspection. They do come to the premises and they will take inventory. They want to know everything that you have. They want to know all the stuff that you're doing. If this is a money-making venture for you, you got to keep receipts. They check your books. They have pulled a number of licenses. In fact, it's on steroids. I have a whole piece about this over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, where they've been pulling the licenses from different FFLs simply because there was like a grammatical error on paperwork or something like that. But you can be the president's son and you can be high as a kite on coke and you can purchase a firearm and lie. I think it's question 13 or 14 on your federal firearms form that you fill out that runs your background check, your 4473. You can lie on that and then you're fine. But if you have a grammatical error, they pull your license, and they've been on steroids since Joe Biden's gotten in the White House. But the bottom line is that this is a federally protected endeavor. Firearms began with hobbyists. Let's not mistake how rifling came into effect. You have rifling, which originated in France, and then it was adopted by the colonists, and it really emerged with the prominence of the Kentucky gun and all this. Just to get into the history of firearms, everybody knows the infamous Belton gun, you know, the infamous Puckle gun, you know, all of the, you know, the predecessors, all of the early predecessors to like semi-auto, full auto, etc. So the technology, the progression has always been there, and it's been driven by hobbyists. And that's how firearm ownership ultimately began in the United States. It's people who were hobbyists. And then also when people went, they had their own arms. When they went and served in Washington's army for the War of Independence. I mean, in the beginning, you had to have your own gun. You had to be able to bring your own firearm. And by the way, that's why it was incorporated a well-regulated militia, meaning somewhat well-regulated, someone who knows how to take care of their own arms. And one of the reasons why they felt the need to incorporate that, going by the minutes of the drafting of the Second Amendment as it was done by the Continental Congress during the debates, was that they wanted to make sure that people had their own firearms and that they could actually be able to service them, clean them, etc. That's what well-regulated meant in the parlance of the time. So all this began as hobbyism. And that's how all of the progression in firearms started. So this is federally protected. It's been historically federally protected. New York is trying to be the tip of the spear here in terms of getting everyone established as their own, as an FFL, meaning you can't own a gun or do anything with a gun as an individual person unless you have an FFL, which is insane because that's the back door to a registry. There is existing federal law that prevents a federal registry as it is right now. That is why when you fill out your 4473 and you go and buy your firearm and it runs through the National Crime Information Center, NCIC, that's what the background check system checks. And there's all these different categories of prohibition. If you've been involuntarily committed, if you've had a dishonorable discharge, if you've been convicted of a felony, if you have domestic felony, you know, a conviction, all of this stuff, it checks that. If you have a conflict with one of these prohibited categories, then you're denied. Now, there are some false positives, because the background checks for employers are actually more stringent than the background check system, but that's a whole other debate. The bottom line is that it's always been federally protected. They want everyone to be their own FFL, and they want to know what everyone has. And the background check system is not allowed to catalog what specifically you're purchasing, only that you are purchasing something that they would need to check for. And the federal government cannot do away with that law. They cannot change that law. So they're trying to do an in run around it, bypass Congress, go through the ATF, and have a de facto decree that is treated as law that they can push everyone into getting an FFL. Even though the system can't even support it and people can't even access it, they're going to try to do it anyway. That's how they're going to do a backdoor registry. And Dexter Taylor's case is the tip of the spear for this. So it doesn't even matter if you own a gun. Doesn't matter. Do you want the government to have a list of all the stuff you have? Have you seen the stories previously in New York where they published the home addresses of people who had concealed carry licenses or FFLs? Did you guys see this? Because this has happened 3 or 4 times in the past 8 years. Do you trust the government knowing everything that you have? The government that wants to say if you wore a red hat back in 2016, you're a domestic terrorist. I've been called by a verbatim a domestic terrorist by sitting members of Congress. Do you think that I want those people to know everything that I have? I have a cleaner record than they do and their damn kids, but they think I'm a domestic terrorist because I disagree with them politically. Knowing how the definitions of who is or who is not an enemy of state is completely arbitrary and dependent upon the political affiliations of the person making the statement, that's enough. That should give you enough fear about this. So no, you don't want the government to know anything that you have. This is the tip of the spear. You know, there's a huge Second Amendment convention that's happening in Dallas this weekend. A huge organization that's having a huge Second Amendment convention. I wonder just how much on their lips Dexter Taylor's case will be.
Hi, I'm Margaret, a rhetoric and media major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This story makes me so mad because I love Steve Buscemi. Steve Buscemi was punched in the face, one of those random street attacks in New York City. Buscemi is 66 years old. He was seen with a black eye days after he got punched in the face in a random street attack in New York City. It was at 11:48 a.m. He was just approached by this rando who hit him right in the face, and the assailant fled. And the guy who did it, he's still at large. No arrests have been made. But he was just on Third Avenue. He's apparently there doing a movie. And they got punched right in the face. That is crazy. And so he's got visible injuries. But this is how, like, there are all these people, famous and not famous, that are talking about how these, like, what are they? It started in St. Louis. What do they call them? Knockout game? Yeah. I don't even think it's a game for people anymore. I think they're just, like, running up and just hitting random people in the face. Old ladies, kids. It's crazy. This car... Amazon. When is Amazon not hitting people? An Amazon-owned Zoox self-driving vehicle. Now they're facing an investigation because they've had not one but two rear-end collisions. So the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said that they've opened up an investigation into their self-driving Zoox vehicles because these things keep braking for, like, no reason. And they said that they're trying to figure out what the problem is, and until then, they probably shouldn't be on the road because they keep causing accidents. Doesn't matter if someone's driving them or not, does it? Just saying. That's we're putting too much confidence in these auto driving vehicles. I'm just saying. There are a surprisingly high number of adults in the United States at risk of heart syndrome. That's what NBC is saying now, but it's not the facts, quote unquote facts, guys. Research has found that adults younger than 45 are not as healthy as previously assumed. They said nearly 90% of adults over age 20 now are at risk of developing heart disease. But it's not the vax. The American Heart Association alerted doctors in October about the cardiovascular kidney metabolic syndrome. It's a condition that affects major organs. And they said that they've been looking. It's a decade's worth of data from 10,000 people. So I don't know. I do think that a lot of people, because of inflammation, I do think that there are more heart issues that they're not aware of. But I also think a hell of a lot of people got these experimental government injections. And by the way, if anyone at YouTube wants to penalize us for saying that, you can take all the middle fingers that I have and my audience has, and you can go sit and spin. Also, let's see what else we got. Oh, I'm not talking about this older one. Old people and STDs.
Oh, no.
You people. Kane says not that old people aren't innocent. I'm just saying, you know. We got more to come. Stick with us. Black Rifle Coffee is the best coffee that you can get in America. It is so good. And a lot of people, a lot of big coffee out there, they're very uncomfortable by the presence of Black Rifle Coffee because they're mainstreaming everything that we love about the USA. And I mean, it's literally called Black Rifle. So, you know, I love it. Veteran owned, veteran operated. They hire retired and active duty, and they serve premium coffee to people who love America. They get the best beans. Every bag's roasted right here in the US of A. You got ground, you got whole bean, you got K-cups, you got ready to drink. And you can also find kettles, grinders, mugs, and so much more. Now, you can join the Black Rifle Coffee Club. I sincerely hope you do this. This is the best way to get it. You're going to save more than the bougiest brand. You're going to save more getting coffee with Black Rifle Coffee Club than you would buying it at the store, buying any coffee at the store, because you pick your roast, frequency of shipment, they send it to your doorstep for free. It's awesome. And you can try it for yourself today. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Make your order of coffee today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off code Dana, BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, what does the public, what do you owe the public, I guess, especially workers who are concerned that they're not going to get this money?
Well, like the same posture of expression that I did in January on this, when I signed the bill and read my signature related to the bill. And the commitment that I just made to you and reinforced today that it will get done before the end of the fiscal year.
You had said you had some concerns about it then. Can you explain a little bit more?
I'm gonna say with respect, and I appreciate the work you've done on this and the articles, and I think it's really important, and I thank you for that. We've got a few weeks to land this, and I want to land it in a way that works for everybody and fulfills the commitments we made, and that's just my responsibility, and I just want to leave it at that at this moment.
I'll move on.
Oof, that reporter I don't think was forceful enough. Nope. I mean, they go, oh, Newsom was called out by a reporter. I'm like, that doesn't sound like he was called out by a reporter. That just sounds like a reporter was asking a question that seemed legitimate, but like she didn't. I think she could have like pushed him a lot more. They have a $45 billion deficit in California. It is such a huge shortfall that they have to do. They're having to like take some austerity measures here. They spent $24 billion trying to solve homelessness over 5 years. But then it came out, according to a very damning report, and that they didn't track any of it. Yes. Like they literally did not track whether or not any of the $24 billion that they had spent on homeless people, they didn't track whether or not it actually was helping the homeless people. They had no way to compare. Were they getting jobs? Were they getting, like, what? They didn't do any of it. Auditors slammed them over it. They said there was no transparency, literally no accountability. And they said that they spent billions from 2018 to 2023, $24 billion. On what? Well, they can't tell you. And in fact, during that time, homelessness increased in California. They were spending $24 billion to reduce homelessness, and they actually grew it. It grew by over 6%. Since 2013, the numbers have exploded by 53%. And in the past 2 years, it grew 6%. So they looked at a number of these, I guess, schemes that they were spending money on. To, like, for instance, they said that one of the plans where they were converting hotel and motel rooms into housing at the expense of the taxpayer to solve homelessness. They said that that was the only thing that they could actually kind of track, but everything else they said they could not even evaluate it because there was no data. They literally made it worse. I mean, they can't judge any outcome really before or after, but they do know that homelessness has increased in the past couple of years. This is wild that they did this. Is it unsurprising though? Is this really surprising though? Because, like, for instance, in San Francisco, one of the programs that they had, this is wild, is they were giving money for, it was homeless vodka shots. I don't even know how to, they were giving beer and vodka to homeless alcoholics. And they said it was beer, wine, and vodka shots. And they spent $5 million a year on liquor to do this. And they said that they were served by nurses. It was their managed alcohol program. And they said it was drinking in a more controlled manner. Canes, yeah. So they would either hand out, I think the details are 1.7 ounces of vodka or a liqueur of some sort, 5 ounces of wine, which is one glass, or 12 ounces of beer. You all right over there, Kane? Yeah. You know, for the homeless, taxpayer funded.
Is this? Okay. So they thought they could control heroin use by just providing heroin?
Well, it would be the same thing, but it's, I don't even know when. The thing is they never had any kind of public hearing on this. They never took this to the taxpayers. They just decided to start spending money on it. Somebody had the grand idea in San Francisco, and this is one of the things that they were spending money on, and they just, $5 million a year. And the details of it were not widely discovered until it just accidentally came out, because there was a guy who, I guess, like, where he ended up discovering it after he walked into the former a former hotel where it was happening. And he said he was appalled, and that he was like, I'm no doctor or expert, but what in the world? But they're spending millions of dollars to do this. They never had any kind of public hearing for it. They never did anything for it. Nothing. So I don't know. I mean, that's just like one of the things that they were doing. And they were under fire for it. That's like, I mean, there's like so much stuff in San Francisco, but there's no recovery in it. Like, that's the thing. Like, they were doing this. They were spending $5 million a year on this. But where is the recovery? That's the big question. I mean, it didn't lead anybody into recovery. And shouldn't that have been like the goal, right? You think, if you're going to do something this extravagant? I mean, it's what they spent. This guy, and Gavin Newsom wants to be president someday. They can't control, they have no idea where to, and so he was just dodging questions on an audio soundbite 10. This is the kind of stuff that he blamed their massive $45 billion deficit on. Listen to the spin.
What we didn't anticipate is these rain bombs in December, January, February, and March. These atmospheric rivers that led to a federal declaration that led to FEMA and the IRS moving in a direction where we couldn't collect our taxes until, I believe, November 16th, as opposed to April 15th. And so therein lied this blackout period that beguiled all of us, the LAO, finance, economists, experts. And interestingly, I mean, has been at the White House recently, had an impact in terms of the IRS collections as well.
It's the rain. The rain and climate change. That's why they have, you know, $45 billion shortfall. It's so easy to blame everything on climate change, right? I mean, it's, you know, vague scientific theory that doesn't even have general consensus of the community. It's easy to just use it as like the catch-all for it, right? Our policies didn't work. It's climate change. We spent $24 million to help the homeless. $24 billion over 5 years to help the homeless, and we didn't track any of where the money was going. And now the homelessness rate increased by 6% in the state, and we have a $45 billion shortfall. Climate change made us do it. The climate change made them spend half of their budget shortfall on trying to deal with the homeless and then only to increase it by 6%.
That damn climate change.
Damn climate change. Telling you what, shenanigans. Climate shenanigans. I would not let this guy within 100 yards of like a bank account, much less the federal treasury or anything else. Just asinine. Now, speaking of the economy, think about this. The Wall Street Journal had a piece. Stubbornly high rents prevent the Fed from finishing inflation fight. For more than a year, the central bank has expected slowing rent increases to show up in official housing measures. I don't think you get to complain about this now. Considering over coronavirus, over the whole lockdown, they were demanding that property owners suspend lease payments. Remember that? You still had to pay tax on it. But you still had to pay tax on it, but nobody else had to pay rent or for utilities. You couldn't charge for utilities. You couldn't charge for rent. You couldn't charge for any of this stuff. That's a terrifying thing. And so they said that, well, you know, we're going to expect a slowdown in housing because, you know, and the cost of that, it's going to drag. There's a drag on inflation, et cetera. They're not going to have a cut on interest rates. Find this fascinating. Steve made a really good point real quick about the California stuff. He was saying, as a reminder, FEMA is the federal is a federal problem, not California's. But it still can be used as an excuse for California. Oh, my gosh. The blueprint for the nation, for Democrats anyway. That's what they want. So mortgages, we're having a problem with mortgages. We're having a problem with the housing market. I think it's still lingering. Well, of course, it's still lingering after a lockdown. I mean, this is what people, I guess they thought everything was going to bounce back so fast. This is why people were so upset over the government's actions during lockdown. Now you have mortgage holders slipping into negative equity. The number of people who've slipped into negative equity has increased. So they said homeowners with a loan-to-value ratio of 125% or more rose to 2.7%. And in Kentucky, seriously underwater mortgage holders rose to 8.3%. Negative equity. Jeez. And it's going to get worse, I think. Because this... people aren't, and especially with taxes, with everything that the administration's promising in November, like my brain's short-circuiting to think about how bad this is going to be. You think it's going to be worse, though, than like what, 2008? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Look at the reverse repo information on how banks can try to keep cash on hand and all of that. It's not looking good. There's other banks that have already been absorbed this year alone in the first quarter, absorbed by the central bank. So I think this, to me, looks like they're ushering in digital a lot faster than we originally thought. So be looking out for that in the next couple of months.
Yay. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, and household finance fears have been the worst since the pandemic. Inflation expectations surged in April and then, yeah. I mean, none of this is good. None of this is good. Home price expectations increased by over 3%. And household budgets are just getting hammered right now. Hammered. People are actually, so get this, the share of people who expect that they're going to miss a minimum debt payment over the next 3 months is the highest that it has been since the onset of the pandemic. But hey, the economy is great, guys. It's a great, and yes, Kane notes, mortgage rates are going to be high because the interest rate, they're not doing anything about the interest rate. But hey, the economy's doing really well. Biden's just given up on Bidenomics. He's just like, yeah, it's doing great. And then they're just hoping that you don't notice or do the math or check your bank account or look at anything this year. They hope not. So coming up, some of the stuff that we have for you, the FBI, an agent, because remember, we've had this discussion about the FBI before. The reason that we know a lot of the shenanigans that they've been up to, the top brass has been up to, is because of these rank and file whistleblowers. So a whistleblower is accusing the top brass of the FBI of retaliation. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into some cultural stuff as well. And then coming up, we have Stephen Yates, who will be joining us. As always, we enjoy when he does. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID and remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. order a medical emergency kit from the wellness company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So in Pinellas County, a drunk woman was spotted driving on three tires. 49-year-old Anna Louise Keller. She told deputies that she did not realize that she was driving around on three tires. According to Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, they arrested her because they got multiple 911 calls saying someone was driving a dark gray Nissan recklessly, no passenger side front tire. And they said they conducted a traffic stop so they could do a welfare check. And then as they spoke to her, they could smell the alcohol. And then she admitted that she had been drinking and told deputies that she was entirely unaware that her tire was just gone, like gone, no tire, nothing. I don't even know how the car moves.
I don't believe her.
Yeah, they said she failed. Now, this is not shocking. She failed her sobriety test and that her blood alcohol concentration was 0.160.
Whoa, that's twice the legal limit.
Yeah, it's 0.08 is the legal limit. They found in the passenger side, they found four empty Busch Light beers. Ew. I mean, golly. And so she got a DUI. But they said that because when they pulled her over, they found a receipt for them. And it was the same day, just like an hour before. So she like chugged these things and then went. I think she's having a bad day, probably. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. Let's see here. So this Florida man, he got arrested because he smacked a Walgreens manager in the face with a Bible on Easter. I mean, I've heard of Bible thumping, but this is a whole new. He got charged with felony battery. So this guy, this 35-year-old, he apparently stole shoes and a box of Cheez-Its from Walmart. And he got into an argument with an employee about some headphones that he wanted to buy. The store manager got involved, said that he should leave. And then he had a brown Bible in his hand and hit her in the face right with it. So he got posted $5,000 bail and was released from Pinellas County Jail on Monday. So a lot happened in Pinellas County here. And it's kind of interesting. Huh. This, a Florida man was mauled by two sharks when he slipped off a boat in the Bahamas. 24-year-old Florida man. He fell into shark-infested waters, and they punctured his kneecap. A shark just missed an artery. He's expected to make a full recovery. I'm nervous about this. By the way, the bite on his leg is like his whole thigh. That's crazy. And it is very much shark infested. And he was trying to get to safety and they just like went into a frenzy. There was like some video of it, like bad video. And they were just like, the water was just agitating because there were so many sharks. And oh my gosh, that's like slightly, ever so slightly terrifying, right? This, let me do this one. Clearwater, the outgoing mayor made an obscene gesture because he gaveled the session and then he turned to the audience and gave them a one finger salute. You can't be doing that. You can't do that in your mayor. I don't care if you're outgoing or not. We got more on the way. Third hour, our friend Stevie Needs will be joining us as well. Stick with us. Our partners over at ReadyWise. Great American company providing high quality, premium survival food packed at their state-of-the-art plant right here in the U.S. of A. So you're supporting American jobs and you have meals at the ready. You never have to worry about what you're going to feed your family should there be sudden storms, power outages, supply chain disruptions, or maybe you just want to go like for a hiking trip. I don't know. It gives you peace of mind knowing you have meals on hand to feed your family. Now, they have an emergency one-month supply two-bucket bundle right now that includes 36 pouches of premium survival food. All, like, every meal. You get all your hots and some of your colds, too. You get meals like teriyaki rice. You get tortilla soup. You have 2,000-plus calories, 50 grams of protein per day. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required. Easy to prepare, just add water. 25-year shelf life. But from start to finish, it's all in the USA, so you're supporting American jobs. Time to prepare is now, so visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
It's a graduation ceremony. Iabri. Jaseku Lynn Bower.
The lady pronouncing those names. That's Jessica Lynn Bower.
Aaliyah Benamon.
What? That name, what is that name even?
Alisuna Cole Bishop.
Allison Nicole Bishop.
All right.
Is it Thomas Jefferson?
Victoria Lee Zubeth Bross.
Elizabeth Bruce. Lee Zubeth Bross. That's how they said her name.
Marlena Zubeth Camp.
Molly Elizabeth Camp. Wow. Wow.
Allison Kerr Camp Bull.
Allison Carol Campbell. Is this, do you have to say people's names wrong at graduation ceremonies?
Thomas
Michael. Like, these are not difficult names, guys.
Wait a minute. Let me see.
You can hear her talk, so she understands English.
How did you not know that was Thomas?
I have to say, at my oldest son's college graduation ceremony last year, it was very similar. I'm not going to lie. Because they destroyed his name and like the name of all of these other kids that were there too. And I was sitting there watching, and it was where, you know, they have a hooding ceremony. So they had the parents that do the hood sit, and then, you know, the grads go up. And they, I knew it was coming because there were very simple names that this lady was absolutely butchering. And there were a couple of Thomases, and she had said, Tomas, like, but had enunciated the H, and she was corrected once. And then when my son went up there, you can imagine with our last name, you know how she said our last name? Loweskic. Uh-huh.
No one has ever said it that way.
Nobody. And my husband, as loud as one person could yell, yelled his name correctly, and it just reverberated throughout the auditorium. Like, oh my gosh. But I knew it was coming. But this isn't Starbucks. It's a damn graduation ceremony, okay?
It reminds me a little of this.
Jay Quellen. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a roll here. Jay Quellen.
Substitute teacher.
Jacqueline? Yeah,
where's Jay Quellen at?
Jacqueline.
No Jay Quellen here?
Jacqueline?
Yeah.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play?
Okay, I mean, it is. It's like a Starbucks, right? Does anybody else have any experience with that? Because I just thought maybe it was a bad announcer or a bad name reader at my son's graduation, his college graduation, but that was one of the worst I've seen. Like, how do you not know how to say Elizabeth? Or
Thomas.
Yeah, or Thomas or Campbell. How do you not know how to say these words? Just, I don't know. Yeah, it's not Starbucks. So welcome back. We're at the top of this third hour. Dana Lash with you. Always good to be with you. And we had a lot of graduations over the weekend. There were not as many disruptions. We had the Jerry Seinfeld, which is probably the biggest one, and the people got booed. And then somebody tried something at a Baylor, one person with a flag, and they were immediately booed. That wasn't going to go over well there. People are done. They're just done with all of this stuff, I think. It's just, it's wearing on them. They're tired of it. It's, they're done. They're just done with all of it. And it's because I think a lot of people also aren't believing all of the Hamas propaganda that's coming out. I don't know if you guys saw this. I'd retweeted it just a little bit ago. I wanted to share it with you. This story of, and it's pretty damning. So they have reporters now because IDF has been moving through Rafah. And they have video of what the camps look like in Rafah, like the refugee camps. They said that the IDF is moving through Rafah and most of the Gazans have already left. And the places where the IDF are operating are entire, like empty of non-combatants. And they said that all of the American estimates of mass casualties on the Gazan side had been proven completely wrong. And they said at this rate, within a week, half of Rafah would be in the hands of the IDF. Because remember, they, and the Wall Street Journal had this story amongst others, a couple of different sources, like mainstream media that came out and actually said, okay, yeah, we've got to revise. They busted the United Nations because they had to undercut their claims of casualties. And if you remember, Hamas, and it is Hamas, whenever you see Gazan whatever ministry, it's Hamas because Hamas is the elected government body of this. But they had said that the casualties originally, they were reporting that there were more casualties in Gaza than there were all of D-Day, which is insane. So the UN very, 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 very quietly released new numbers where they reduced the estimated number of women and children killed in Gaza by over half. Now, remember, these are the numbers that anti-Israel activists have used to accuse Israel of genocide. These are the numbers that the Squad and the Democrat Party has cited in order to try to push Biden into abandoning our only ally in that part of the world. These are the numbers that have been used to suspend the sale of ammunition and munitions to Israel. Now you see why the propaganda is actually important, because Democrats have been using it to justify turning away from Israel, their ally, the United States' ally. I mean, it's just kind of shocking that, you know, you can't actually depend on terrorists to give you good data about casualties. But that's what Hamas has done from the get-go. I mean, it is amazing how quiet they were with us. They were very quiet about it. They very quietly. And it's really, Red State says that it was embarrassing the way that they were trying to explain it. Because the United Nations didn't, they did it very quietly and they didn't say anything to anybody. And they were using, again, Hamas numbers. And when they apparently was brought up to them, the director had said that the numbers that they had used, I'm pulling this up right now, Catherine Russell, she said she was using the Hamas health ministry numbers, and that the reason that they were using them is because, you know, it came from this official Hamas, the Gazan Ministry of Health. That's literally the terrorists are running it. They are running it. And they kept trying to, like, I guess somehow suggest otherwise. I mean, that's, everybody knows this. So this is just the United Nations is a joke, and everyone was running with these numbers and not because it confirmed their bias. That's why they did it. So look at that. Not surprising. A few other things to touch on. I noted let me pull this up. I mentioned the whistleblowers in the FBI, because one of the reasons that we know a lot about this, what's happening with the FBI, are because of these rank and file whistleblowers. And so one of the stories, the Washington Times has the headline of an FBI agent that's accusing the top brass of retaliation because people are speaking out about the FBI's, you know, they're punishing people who are telling members of Congress about their antics. They're punishing people who are ratting them out to members of Congress. And so the story over at, and this is Kerry Pickett's story over at the Washington Times, which has too many damn pop-up ads, by the way. Get all the damn pop-up ads off your website. It's ridiculous. But it bothers me so bad. But they are saying that the guy's security clearance, they suspended it. They've gone after this guy. This guy's working as an adjudicator investigating misconduct within the FBI. His superiors turned on him, he said, when he recommended ending the suspension of FBI agent Garrett O'Doyle. And so this, he's been at the center of this like whole whistleblower saga for a number of years now. And he had, this is in 2022, he had his security clearance first suspended. And they, apparently the brass has moved against a number of other rank and file for speaking out about the over-politicization of the FBI brass's behavior. Is there any accountability for them? Oh, that would be the DOJ, and they're not going to do anything because it's Merrick Garland and it's the Biden administration. You're not going to see anything with us. We got to win elections for this. You got to win elections. That's what happens. Elections count. You got to win elections. This stuff matters. You got to be able to win the White House and win the DOJ to be able to make the calls for this. Now, speaking of the election, just I'm going to touch on this because I would rather jump off my roof and break off all my legs than talk about the trial. All of my legs, my whole two legs came.
News, Dana.
Yeah. So the Hunter Biden, first off, he's tried to get his and Lorraine has a piece up at Substack right now that gets into this week in legal. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the Third Circuit, has dismissed Hunter Biden's attempt to try to have his federal gun charges tossed out. So they're going to trial on June 3rd, y'all. I know we're all going to be watching that. He's going to trial for it. Now, you also have the New York State Commission on Judicial Conduct. They're looking at that judge because apparently a real estate lawyer said he spoke to that judge in this case about the case before the verdict was issued. And this is per NBC New York. So they're involved now. They're taking a look at this. The Stormy, Chunky McStripper is still happening. Wait, it's true though, right? I thought strippers were supposed to be hot.
Is she Irish?
Chunky McStripper?
The McStripper threw me off.
I'm sure it's all fake. Yeah. I just thought, aren't like, you know, those types of ladies in that type of industry supposed to be good looking?
To be successful, I think so.
Is there like a generational difference? Like where they were never not good looking?
I don't know.
I'm asking because I'm just, you know, the word dog face pony soldier comes to mind. So Alvin Bragg is trying to shoehorn the business records into some kind of, we talked about this before, election interference charge, which it's not. It's not a crime to cheat on your wife. It's not a crime to cheat on your wife with a chunky, ugly stripper. It's not a crime to pay off the chunky, ugly stripper to keep her stupid, chunky, ugly mouth shut so she doesn't wreck your campaign because you were dumb enough to be with the chunky, ugly stripper, you know, allegedly. No one's saying that this is illegal. But I don't like unforced errors. But this, apparently, you have a guy who's perjured himself on multiple occasions, and apparently the entire case hinges on the testimony of this guy, this Michael Cohen, who's on the stand today. And the prosecution, they have some more witnesses to go. But I don't know how you can call Michael Cohen as a credible witness and put him on the stand in this case when he is the actual manifestation of sleaze, the word. If sleaze turned into a person and wore a suit and breathed, you would call it Michael Cohen, right? He is just, so he's perjured himself so many times in court, I just don't know how he can be considered a credible witness. And so the prosecution, this is ongoing, he's on the stand today, and they're talking about this $130 paid to Stormy Daniels' lawyer and all this other stuff. This is the thing that gets me. Like, they want to get him on some kind of charge so bad. But the one that they could have gotten him on, which was the Mar-a-Lago case, they messed it up. It's insane. We got headlines coming up. Brought to you by our friends at Patriot Mobile. The only only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. And see, you don't even have to be a Christian conservative to take advantage of their great plans, their coverage, because Patriot Mobile has the best coverage. They have the best people too. They have dependable nationwide coverage in all three major networks. So regardless of where you are, you're going to get the best service in your area, but you're not funding the left. And that's the big thing. All of these other cell phone companies, they all divert a portion of the hard-earned dollars you pay for your cell phone coverage. They divert that into political action, and they go out and advocate for gun control and DEI and witch hunts on effective Republican lawmakers. And so when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're not funding any of that. In fact, you're funding the efforts to protect it, because Patriot Mobile stands with your Second Amendment rights, free speech, and everything you stand for, everything you vote to protect at the ballot box. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade, the choice is yours. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They make it easy to switch, and you're helping to support American jobs. Free activation using code Dana. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
An Arizona woman who was charged with trying to kill her husband by poisoning his coffee daily for months, putting bleach in it, somehow avoided jail time. She's going to be on probation for 3 years. I feel like if a dude was poisoning his wife every day for months and putting bleach in her coffee, I just have a feeling that he would not avoid jail time, right? I feel like they would, I'd feel like they'd put him in jail. So she was initially charged with attempted murder, but they reduced the charges, and so to like nothing. She just can't contact her ex now. That's crazy. 500,000 people were impacted by an Ohio lottery ransomware attack. It's a cyber attack, and it was conducted by a group. Golly, I hate all these stupid pop-up ads. Like, your crappy website, if you have to have that many pop-up ads and it arrests your ability to read the website, your website isn't pulling enough, like, eyes to deal with, like, regular ads. So stop. The Ohio Lottery cyber attack, they said, conducted by this ransomware group. It affected 500,000 people. And they said that apparently they made all this information available that they took from the Ohio Lottery, including 1.5 million records of employee and player information, including social security numbers. Too much stuff is digital, man. I gotta say, because can it ever be entirely protected? I've got questions. The university, this is a hilarious, we talked about this. We actually played some of it a little while ago. The hilarious viral name mispronunciations. So Thomas Jefferson University, they said that, because they apologized for it. And they said that they extended their apologies and they did not mean to mispronounce names. Stephen Yates next.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. And one of the things that we've been always regularly every week and really almost every day that we focus on is looking at these, you know, headlines as it relates to China. And then, of course, we were talking about NATO, et cetera, earlier. This story, though, because I've been they call it an electric car fight between the U.S. and China because we have these tariffs, presumably that the Biden administration is going to be levying against China for EVs. But I didn't realize that we got that many EVs from China. So I wanted to ask our very good friend, who is the senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative, Stefan Yates, to join us. You know, in the spirit of the Thomas Jefferson University's graduation, their commencement name, Stefan Yates. And you can follow him on X at YatesComs. Stephen Yates, always good to see you. Welcome.
My heart goes out to all those parents who paid a small fortune to an alleged higher education institution that can't even pronounce their child's name.
It's so bad.
The quality of that diploma.
Before we get into it, that's not normal, right? I mean, we had something like that when my oldest son graduated from college, and we were chuckling because the lady was, I feel like she was trying to go above and beyond to show off how bilingual she was, and it was ridiculous because she said our last name Loeskuk, and we're like, that's what? We're Czech now? That doesn't even make any sense. It was just
adding
weird.
A syllable.
Yeah, like I just, I'm like, is this normal? I don't remember this.
No, somewhere things got broken. In my grandmother's generation, when she was raising my mom, even just at home, they were so strict about pronunciation. And it kind of came from the assimilation generation where they valued losing the accent that came to America in order to emphasize being a part of the American experiment here. It wasn't seen as any kind of an ist. It was just sort of the ethos of the time.
And
whether you were, whatever class you were, upper, middle, working, whatever, you wanted to talk in the way that came across as sounding knowledgeable and professional. But somewhere in recent years, we've sort of lost all of those standards and ethos. And in an age where you can get your face power blasted off for using the wrong pronoun, you can completely butcher people's names and backgrounds. And that's totally cool.
Yeah, I know. And you bring up such a good point because it was the assimilation ethos, because America is where the strength was, and it was E Pluribus Unum. And it was that unification under freedom that everybody wanted to be a part of. And everybody wanted to hold up that flag. And I don't know. I mean, I think you struck on something. That was probably the first shot, so to speak, in the DEI warfare of the modern era was that. I wanted to ask you, though, about this EV stuff, because I mean, okay, I obviously you're the expert and I'm not. I did not think that we got a lot of EVs from China, because this isn't just like the materials. This is like an actual electric vehicle. I thought he would be targeting like rare earth elements and things like that, the Biden administration. So it seems like half-hearted. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Like, what's the point if we get so few EVs from China?
Yeah, well, to be honest, this is one of those I haven't made a deep dive into either. I strongly suspect that there has been an American element that is an echo of the European experience, where the big German companies have not been developing their own electric vehicles. They have been outsourcing a lot of that to China. And so they bring the value of their brand and their platform, but they've been trying to, on the cheap, import the execution of that new platform. And I wonder whether some of the American brands that have struggled to compete in this area, whether you want them to compete or not is a whole other question when it comes to electric versus combustion engine, all of that stuff. But if you're going to be in it, you should be in it to win it. And really, there's only one American brand that has been putting out an American car on that, and that's been Tesla. I wouldn't be surprised to learn that there are some big American brands that have been relying on not just Chinese components, but maybe even a whole Chinese design to try to get a leg up in this. Now, whether you should tariff that or not, we have purists who go back and say this is violating the rules-based international order. You have to say it exactly that way, too, because you have to be a snooty, ignorant person to think that this rules-based international order has done anything good for America in the last 20 years.
Yeah. So this really could be like a kick at Tesla in a way.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. And, you know, famously, the Biden administration, when they launched their big EV initiatives, they brought people to the White House. They didn't invite Tesla. And that very much was a personal slap at Elon Musk.
Yeah. Is this because it seems like it's less him? It's not really him focusing on China's influence. This is him like, I don't like Tesla. They've been critical of the administration. And maybe it looks like I'm patting the back of the Rust Belt without really doing anything, you know, solid to actually substantial to help the Rust Belt. That's kind of, it's like bad triangulation, it seems like.
Well, it's also, they're going into the crunch time in the election. They just don't have a lot to show for themselves on these things that are part of the theology that they've been trying to preach for the last several years. And so, I mean, if you're even a really motivated Biden voter and you buy into the Church of the Most High Sun God and calamity is going to fall upon us all if we don't sacrifice profoundly now to change temperature by who knows how much for 100 years, even if you buy all of that stuff, what has the Biden administration actually done on this in a major way? And so on trade and on this environmental stuff, I think they're just planting a political flag. Mm. And if they want to sort of block or reorder supply chains, I say good on them, but EVs are just a drop in the bucket when it comes to that.
Yeah.
You would have thought, given the pain and suffering that COVID wrought upon us, that pharmaceutical supply chains would have been that higher priority. And I would dare say a lot more American families and voters would be responding if they don't put tariffs in that zone as opposed to the EV zone.
They have medical supplies, talking with our good friend Stephen Yates, medical supplies, syringes, PPE. I guess that's it. They, I mean, apparently that's all going to be included in this stuff, which is, again, have we done anything to actually increase our own production of medical supplies?
Yeah. Well, the other, you know, that's the biggest thing. The thing that is most needed is for America to stop hurting itself and sort of fall back in love with the idea of America, but make things here and move the regulations out of the way of doing that. And it's so common sense, it hurts your head. But really, we wouldn't have to be playing with tariff rates and all of this if we did the right thing ourselves. What the Chinese Communist Party and others are doing would be entirely irrelevant to our lives. We would be powerful enough, prosperous enough, and we would have good enough options with our friends and neighbors that play by the rules that we wouldn't have to be worrying about this. Those are the fundamentals.
Yeah.
And that's why this is sort of a sideshow, but we're going to get more sideshows as these months go to the election.
Yeah, especially now because it's tripling of U.S. tariffs on Chinese metal products, specifically steel and aluminum. That is blue wall, rust belt. That's what that is.
Pennsylvania.
Yes. That's all this is. That's, I mean, this isn't a heavy, he's not like standing up to China. He's not being this, you know, tough guy on China. He's just doing this to pat his own back as it pertains to the election. Now, the Taiwan, this, okay, so we had Xi Jinping meeting with Emmanuel Macron. So now NATO, a NATO ally, is endorsing this, I guess, the Chinese-Ukrainian peace plan. Is that what we have from this? Is that what has happened after this big giant meeting? Because we had Orban, Viktor Orban, who met with Xi Jinping as well, yep. The Hungarian president. So now we have what? A NATO ally saying that, yes, we like China's approach to the Ukrainian peace plan. What?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the area where, unfortunately, politics, whether it's national, local, or world politics, all lead you to disappointment with people who are supposed to be your friends and allies sometimes. Yeah. And so, you know, here we have an example. I don't think that this dear leader could even say what China's approach to Ukraine really is, because Ukraine's, or the Chinese approach to Ukraine, or the plan that they floated, was a lot of word salad. It was downplaying the role of sanctions. How about all of the countries come to the table and avoid unilateral sanctions? And how about we, you know, do away with Cold War mentality? And all, basically, it was pro-Russia word games. And it's basically the same games that China plays with regard to the challenges it makes in Asia against its neighbors. And so it's very disappointing to see allegedly intelligent and right-sided people fall for this stuff. But, I can be accused of being ignorant and partisan, and all of that's definitely true. But I think that this leader couldn't even say what the plan is, because I've never met a Chinese plan that had real substance.
Mm. The Taiwanese Foreign Minister Joseph Wu asked for the world to continue to help Ukraine in its fight against Russian aggression. I was reading his remarks on this because the headline really, it did kind of shock me. I'm like, wait a minute, why is all of a sudden now the whole focus, even on, you know, in the Asia Pacific region, all on Ukraine now? And I was reading his remarks on this, and he was saying that the security in Europe and Asia now depends on the West's position. But the way, now correct me if I'm wrong, I get out of this that we can assist someone in fighting a fight that we don't have to fight ourselves. But it really didn't even get more specific than that. How do you interpret what he was saying?
Yeah. Well, in full disclosure, Joseph is a friend of mine. I've known him for over 25 years. And I very much like the guy.
Yeah.
But I've seen for some time now a lot of my friends in Taiwan and in Asia, the people they interact with in D.C., all fly one flag that isn't American, and it's the Ukraine flag. And so if you're overseas and you want to kind of make sure that you're in good with the people who are in positions of decision-making and power now, it's on climate change, you got to pray to the Most High Sun God. And when it comes to international affairs, you have to stand with Ukraine. And they might believe that. I mean, I don't want ill for the people of Ukraine. I don't want them to get rolled over by the bad Russian army or anyone else. But at the same time, I don't think that my friends in Taiwan or a lot of other allies in Asia really know what's going on there. They've got bigger fish to fry in their near abroad. And really all they're doing is trying to say, hey, if I stand in solidarity against another oppressed group, maybe that will help get others to stand with me. And if I don't stand with them, then others will leave me behind. It's a fairly simplistic way of thinking. I can't fault them entirely for it. I just don't happen to agree with it.
I don't think it's simplistic at all. I think it's I think Democrat policy has been incredibly simplistic when they look at this, because I can imagine a Democrat lawmaker looking at, Taiwan and saying, well, they didn't stand behind Ukraine when Ukraine needed help. So we're not going to stand with Taiwan when China. I get that, because that, aren't they kind of doing that now with Gaza?
Yeah, well, it does. Exactly. And that's the biggest demonstration effect. For the last couple of years, people have been saying, well, we have to win in Ukraine. We have to support Ukraine. Putin has to be defeated. All things on the surface I might not even disagree with, just as ideas. But they say you have to do this because ultimately Beijing is watching, and we have to deter Beijing from invading Taiwan. So this linkage has existed all along, the idea that you can't betray a friend or an ally and still deter Beijing. But right now we have an actual treaty ally in Israel that is, in fact, not just in spirit, in fact, being betrayed on national security assistance in a time of conflict. That is absolutely toxic in terms of friends and allies having confidence in the United States.
And I would say that Beijing's watching that far more closely than they're watching Ukraine, which is interesting why they haven't said a single word about it. It's almost like, let's keep the focus on Ukraine so they'll keep the focus on Ukraine. Very interesting. Stephen Yates, Sam, very good to have you. As always, appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for your insight. Have a great week.
Thank you very much, Dana. Take good care.
You too. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our broadcast. And of course, we can't do it without people, awesome folks, bringing you free radio. And of course, Hillsdale College is one of those. Hillsdale, where you don't see any protests happening at their commencement ceremonies because all their students are educated. And they've been doing such a great job at making sure that everybody is aware, like everybody, they reach out to everybody on behalf of liberty and, really defense of our constitutional principles. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, and they were founded in 1844 and to pursue truth and defend liberty with education. And that's what they've been doing. They have free resources that you can take advantage of, not just at their campus in southern Michigan, but really no matter where you are. Like, for instance, there are Free Speech Digest and Primus that they send out every month, and they discuss so many, they do deep dives on so many issues with leading conservative thinkers. For instance, they've been talking about of all things, medicine, right? The American Medical Association, which you would think would be like the last institution to fall to DEI shenanigans. But nope, because now they're saying that, medicine as an industry is just rampant with white supremacy. So as a result, to defeat white supremacy, we have to lower standards on all medical school entrance tests. Now, that doesn't make any sense, but that's literally what they're doing. And it's not just happening with medicine, but it's also happening with law and other fields. Yeah, do you feel confident with that, like the next time you undergo surgery? I mean, think about it. That's where we're at. It's terrifying. And this is what Hillsdale is exploring. There's no cost or obligation to get in Primus or any of the stuff that they produce for free. They produce and mail in Primus as part of their educational mission on behalf of liberty. Sign up for your free subscription today at Dana4FORHillsdale.com.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Privilege is a word that has taken quite a beating lately. Privilege today seems to be the worst thing you can have. I would like to take a moment to defend it. Again, a lot of you are thinking, I can't believe they invited this guy. It's too late. I say, use your privilege. I grew up a Jewish boy from New York. That is a privilege if you want to be a comedian. Thanks. If I messed up a funny story around my relatives, they would go, that's not how you tell that joke. the prostitute has to be behind the drapes when the wife comes in. You went to Duke. That is an unbelievable privilege. I now have an honorary doctorate of humane letters degree from Duke University. And if I can figure out a way to use that, I will. I haven't figured anything out yet. I think it's pretty much as useful in real life as this outfit I'm wearing. But so what? I'll take it. My point is we're embarrassed about things we should be proud of and proud of things we should be embarrassed about.
Gosh, Jerry Seinfeld's speech to these woke grads, to Duke University, is perfect. That's just tone-wise, it's spot on. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. He was defending privilege. I wrote about privilege in my third book. No, second book. Third book, Race Canceled. I wrote about, I wrote about privilege in that book because what he just touched on was right. Be proud of the things that that you can be proud of, and don't be proud of the stupid stuff. I mean, he's right in that. Gosh, that's like probably the biggest lesson that grads could learn right now. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, I'll play a little bit of it, but this is Jake Sullivan in regards to the Israel-Hamas situation. Oh, listen to this.
Iran and its proxies have tried to take advantage of the war in Gaza to launch attacks on Israel. Hezbollah is attacking every day. The threat posed by Iran and its proxies to Israel, to regional stability, and to American interests is clear.
Who actually freed up the money for Iran? That's a weird thing.
Yeah, I think it would. Their name rhymes with the Biden administration.
That's exactly right.
Or Biden, going by Thomas Jefferson University's pronunciation. Have a great night. I'll be on waters tonight.